We are going to continue a little bit along the subject that we were talking about last week, and that's about talking with God, which deals with the area of prayer. Now, in this series, we've been looking at some hindrances that kind of hold you and I back, I think, from having a healthy prayer life. And prayer sometimes is not one of those big, shouting, exciting subjects to deal with, is it? You know, a lot of times we'd rather talk about other subjects, but, you know, this here is probably more foundational in our walk, because what you're going to find out, there's two areas of your life that really need to be working. And number one, you have prayer on one side, and the other side, you have the Word of God, and you need both to be strong in your walk with God. Now, I like the illustration, you know, of a plate spinner. We've all seen plate spinners, right? Maybe it's not as common back when I was a kid. You know what it is? They'd have these plates on these poles, and this, you know, guy that was good at it, he'd get a bunch of plates spinning. When one stopped, you know, or slowed down, he'd keep going and try to get them spinning and keep them going to see how many he could get going. And it takes both hands to get a plate to spinning. But could you imagine being a one-arm plate spinner? That's worse than almost a one-arm wallpaper hanger, right? You know, nobody hardly does that no more. And see, if we only have one thing working, maybe we're good at reading the Bible, but we're not real good on prayer. Yeah, you're going to have some spiritual strength, but you're not going to be up to your full potential. Well, let's say you're really more into prayer than you are reading the Bible. Well, you're going to have some, you know, good stuff going on, but yet you're not really going to live up to your full potential. So we're going to try to get everything working the way that it's supposed to be. And like I mentioned last week, we looked at some inner hurts and barriers that hold us back and that can affect our relationship with the Lord, even though we may not even know they're there. Some things that we went through as a child and different things in our own personal relationship with our earthly father. Sometimes those things can come in and hinder us and hold us back from getting to where we need to be. And those things are on the website if you want to catch up on that one. Now, today we're going to look at some outer hindrances and how they also stop us from getting close to God, which is our Heavenly Father. And I think most of us are probably aware of these things, so it's going to be kind of a refresher. But all these things keep us from intimacy. The goal is to get to intimacy with God. We want to get close to God because the closest we are to God is the better off we're going to be. Now, I know we live in a real world, so we just can't go off to some monastery and hide out, right? So we've got to learn how to walk the balance of living in this world, but yet also have that great connection with God. Scripture we're going to look at today, we're going to look at it from two different translations. New American Standard first, it's in Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 13 to 16. Then after I read that one, I'm going to read from the Message Bible. Now, the Message Bible is kind of a paraphrase spoken in American English. It's right up my alley. Amen. For those of you who make fun of my English, hallelujah. You know who you are. No, I'm just kidding. All right. I read the emails. No. Anyway, I'm getting better. Glory to God. Ain't I? No, just kidding. I think ain't a word now, I heard. I don't know. But anyway, it says, Hebrews 4, verse 13 to 16, New American Standard, it says, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Therefore," whenever you see therefore, there's something there. "Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." Now, in the Message Bible, it says, "Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word." We can't get away from it, no matter what. "Now what we know, what we have, Jesus, this high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a high priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weaknesses and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. Let's pray. Father, we honor you today. We thank you, Lord, for your hand upon us. We thank you, Lord, for stirring up the gift inside of me right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for revelation knowledge to come forth. I pray for the gifts of the Spirit. We bind up the devil that tries to come in to steal, kill, or destroy in our life, Lord, to hold us back from your best. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the first point we're going to look at today is pretty obvious, probably, and that's the devil. He is real. Just sure as God's real, the devil's real. Now, the devil hates it when you pray. He doesn't like it. So he's going to try to do some things to hinder us and to hold us back. That's why, you know, the writer of Hebrews said here, let us draw near. See, the nearer that you and I are to God, the more dangerous we become to the devil's kingdom. Whether we want to understand it or not or accept it or not, the fact of the matter is, you and I are down here in a war. And it's not the kind of war that is fought with guns and missiles, although they're fiery missiles that the devil uses. But we're in a spiritual battle. And we're down here in this, and God wants us to be aware and wise in what we do. And so the devil, he doesn't want us to get close to God. Because like I said, the closer you are to God, the more you're going to be empowered and the more dangerous you are going to be to the devil and his kingdom. Now, what happens, Jude 20 even says, build up your faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You know, the more faith we have, the harder it is that you and I are to handle. And I want to be hard to handle. You know, I don't want to be, you know, one of those Christians that are afraid and just kind of hide and put on a mask and try to blend in with the world and not really own up to what God's called me to do. Now, I've heard it said that some say a Christian is really only as strong as their prayer life, and that kind of hurts a little bit. Because sometimes prayer is one of those things. I think sometimes it's kind of like the ebb and flow of an ocean. You know, sometimes our prayer life is really hot and it's really good, and then sometimes it seems like it can kind of diminish. So we need to be aware of those flows and how they work. You know, I think there's a truth to that because I've found in my life, you know, that if my prayer life is not kind of where it needs to be, have you ever had that feeling where you're running on empty? You're just exhausted? And it may not be a physical exhaustion. It's more of a mental or a spiritual exhaustion. And what I've traced back is that it's usually, you know, usually when we feel overwhelmed, it's usually because we're underprayed. And, you know, a lot of people, I just want to throw out this disclaimer. I'm not talking, I got to go pray for 2 or 3 hours at a crack. You know, because sometimes we get that mentality that, you know, I have to go pray for hours before I see anything happen. No, just dismiss that totally from your mind. Don't even, you know, let this series, what I want to do is just get you closer to God. However long you spend with your Father, your Heavenly Father, is between you and your Heavenly Father. Amen? So it's however you feel good doing it and what makes you feel that you're edified. Now, the reason why we want to get close is that when we go to the throne of grace, we receive mercy and grace to help us. You know, mercy is for when we're, you know, what we get because, you know, we can't just do it on our own. But see, grace is an empowerment. You know, the devil doesn't want us to get plugged in, to get power. You know, when we go there, get close to our Heavenly Father, it's a place of connection where you tap into the power of God. Now, we have a toaster at home, like most people do, you know, and I have the technology. I could fix this receptacle, but the top plug is loose and the bottom one is okay. So I don't take the time to fix it, but if you plug it into the top one, it'll kind of wiggle loose and the toaster won't work. You know, it's not plugged into the power. You can put your toast in, and it ain't going to get any darker than it was in the time you put it in there. Why? It's not plugged in. It doesn't have the power. It looks like it is a little bit, but it's out just enough where it's not really receiving from it. And see, that's kind of what we get sometimes. We may look like we're okay, but we're not really plugged into the power. You know, I had an old shirt, and I can't fit into it no more. I think it was from Petra, is one of their albums. Maybe some of you don't know who Petra was. But it says, "Get on your knees and fight like a man." And that was a cool album. And, you know, the shirt was really cool too. But that was back when I weighed 150 pounds. So, you know, those days are a little long gone. But that is a spiritual truth, because, you know, most of the battles, the spiritual battles that you and I are going to encounter and how we're going to win them is on the prayer field. You know, we maybe fight our battles on the playing field. You know, we go out and we talk to people, and we maybe argue with people, or we think people's our problem. Now, I'm not saying people ain't a problem. You know, hey, we all know that. But most of the things that we have to deal with is in the realm of prayer. And as we fight the good fight of faith, and then we're going to start to see the victory, because we're going to see it, because that's how we, through prayer, that we wage war against the enemy. You know, 2 Corinthians 2, I think it's chapter 10. Oh, no, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, excuse me. It says, we do not war according to the flesh, meaning that we're in a spiritual battle. You know, some people, when they get into a battle, they think it's the person. Now, a lot of times, it's the enemy that's working behind the person. And, you know, we need to understand that where we need to do it, because here's some things that Satan does to you and I to keep us from getting close to God. And I think we all deal with these from time to time. You know, the Bible says, you know, that Satan is an accuser of the brethren. Just because you get saved doesn't mean Satan's going to give up on you. Satan's going to keep trying, because after he loses you into God's kingdom, his next goal is to keep you from being empowered to be able to operate in full capacity in God's kingdom. Oh yes, you're saved and you're going to make it to heaven, but you're not going to be able to flow in the things of God where God wants you to be able to walk in victory. So here's some things that Satan does as the accuser. You know, he's going to battle our mind with evil thoughts. And I think we've all had them from time to time. You know, these evil thoughts come in, and, you know, you might be, you know, walking and you think you're kind of holy, but all of a sudden you get a thought come in your mind, don't you? And these thoughts kind of come against us, and they can affect us. And, you know, one that he does is he puts fear into us. Have you ever been afraid? Even as a believer, all of a sudden just something comes in your mind. And it's the worst case scenario thing that you think could ever happen. And that fear, what it does, it comes in and it kind of paralyzes you. And you just don't know what to do. And it can hold you back, and it can keep you back from really entering into God. And another one that I think is probably more prevalent is thoughts of unworthiness. You know, we feel inadequate. Have you ever felt the leading of God that he wants you to step out and do something? Maybe go pray for somebody or go do something for somebody. But all of a sudden you just feel, well, I'm inadequate. I don't really know what the Bible says. I don't think I can really help that person because, you know, I know what I'm like and I'm just not that strong a person. Because what the enemy does, he brings up your past. And we all have a past. We got to get past our past, right? So this past thoughts come in there of things, you know that person ain't going to listen to you. They're more spiritual than you are. How do you think you're going to help them? And that's what the devil does. So when the devil tries to remind me of my past, I just remind him of his future. Amen? His future's not too bright. As a matter of fact, he's going to be bound up in hell. And he usually cuts me some slack then and kind of goes and messes with somebody else for a while. Here's something we deal with, strife in our life. Did you know strife can hinder your prayers? That's a tough one. God bless you. Strife can hinder your prayers. Now, I use that illustration about the toaster being plugged in. Now, what would you think if somebody came to your house and they started running around the house unplugging everything? Unplugging your toaster, unplugging your blender, unplugging your electric skillet if you use one, or your crock pot. Just unplugging everything from the power. Well, see, that's what strife does to our life. It unplugs us from the power of God. And that's why we got to watch it. And see, that's why do you think the devil tries to divide a husband and wife? You know, he may not get you to divorce, but he can get your prayers hindered. Because one of the strongest powers on the earth today is the power of agreement, especially between a husband and a wife. And the Bible even says in Peter that your prayers will be hindered if, you know, there's strife, or we don't deal with each other in an understanding way. So that's why he tries to come in, and that's why the biggest fights usually start on the way to church, don't they? The man's out in the driveway honking the horn. Mama's in there getting 4 or 5 kids ready all by herself. Come on! You know, I'm picking on us men because I am one, right? And I've just found, that's why I've always said, my wife and I, we don't ride together to church. There's no strife. No, I come early. Get set up. Amen. So we got to do that. Now, if maybe you're not married right now, and you say, well, I don't have a spouse, a husband, or a wife to pray with. Well, find a friend. I encourage you to find somebody from the same sex as yourself. You know, I don't encourage you to go pray with somebody from the opposite sex and, you know, do a prayer ministry with them, because prayer brings intimacy. And that's not healthy. You know, so make sure you find somebody. You know, if you're a woman, find a woman. If you're a man, find a man. And I think that's better. Next thing the enemy's going to do, he'll put unforgiveness in your heart. When you sit down to pray, sometimes you get to thinking about somebody that irritates the heck out of you. Somebody that's wronged you. And all of a sudden you get them, you know, you get kind of mad. Well, that's going to affect your prayer time. Big time, doesn't it? You know, sometimes you get busy. You know, a lot of times when you sit down to pray, the enemy's going to try to put thoughts of business. Things you could do that you measure would be more productive than praying. But I found in my life, when I'm too busy to pray, I'm too busy. Right? If you're too busy to pray, then we're too busy. So we need to put those things and get those things back in order. Now, I just want to say, I was talking about the devil. I don't like to give him too much glory, because it sounds like he's got some pretty good stuff at his disposal, doesn't it? But I just want to tell us and remind us that never be afraid of the devil. As a child of God, a blood-washed, blood-bought, spirit-empowered child of God, you don't have to be afraid of the devil. Yes, he is an adversary. Yes, he is an accuser of the brethren. But you do not have to be afraid of the devil, because we have greater weapons than he has. And God has put limitations on him on the things he can do, and we're not going to go into that right now. All right, the next thing that we're going to look at, other than the devil that keeps us from talking with God, is the flesh. And that's not talking about our body. Our body is flesh, but it's talking about our old nature. The old nature that you and I had before we became a Christian. Now, sometimes we call it the old man. And now, women, don't be looking over to your husband and say, I told you you were always holding me back from God. No, that's an old joke, ain't it? You know, but, you know, think about, you know, when you're starving. Have anybody ever starved? I mean, we live in a pretty... we got stores everywhere where you can get food, but, you know, let's just say you just don't have anything to cook or something or whatever happens, and you're just hungry. And you can almost eat anything. Maybe you're on a special diet where you're not going to eat any taco chips, corn chips. And, you know, because you think there are too many carbs for you. Well, you're hungry and you don't have enough proteins in the house, so what are you doing? You're just walking by that cupboard and you're just thinking about those corn chips. And you're just getting hungrier by the minute. You got to have those corn chips. You know, I look at it like, you know, coming off a 3-day fast. You know, if I've ever fasted for 3 days, just a word to you guys, do not get your hands between me and my mouth. Amen? That's a dangerous place to be. You know, if you put your fingers between me and my mouth after a 3-day fast, you know, no telling what's going to happen. You know, don't reach across my food, you know, because I might bite you. You know, but that's how we feel. Our flesh has these carnal desires, these things in our life, and sometimes they're hard to control. And the flesh is something that we need to get a handle on, because don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but you know, sometimes I think the flesh is worse to deal with sometimes than the devil, because we live with our flesh. And it's easy to, we get the reason to justify maybe some of our things that we do. And that's where motives come into play. And that's talking about our selfishness or our self. We put ourselves first and all these things. You know, the book of James talks about, you know, he was trying to tell us why our prayers sometimes don't get answered. And one of the reasons is because our motives aren't right. So our flesh, and I just want to say this, we're going to get into this a little more. You know, when we're talking with God, my goal is to, you know, of this series, is more about relationship than it is about teaching you how to get things from God. I think we're all pretty good at asking, aren't we? You know, we ask God for stuff. I mean, that's not a problem. But it's the intimacy, the place where we start to get built up spiritually. That's kind of where I'm heading with this. And as we do that, we're going to start to see it. So how do you deal with some of these things? See, the devil is going to try to work with our old nature, the old nature in our life. He's going to try to activate it and raise it up again. So that battle's on. Because here's what's really happening. The old nature wants to rule our soul, and our spirit wants to rule our soul. Now, our soul is our mind, will, intellect, and emotions. Remember, man is a spirit, soul, and body. So, the battle's on. It's just like I've always said, it's just like trench warfare in the old days in World War I or maybe even World War II, where they would dig these trenches and they would fight over this piece of ground, and little by little they would gain territory. And see, that's what the enemy wants to do in our life. So, what do we do? Well, what you and I need to do is learn how to deal with these evil passions in our life, these things that hold us back from getting close to God. Because what I found out is the fact that when these things are activated in our life and they're ruling and they're dominating in our life, it hinders our relationship with God because we don't feel right about it. We don't feel right because we feel we're cheating on our Father, our Heavenly Father. Just like, you know, some may feel like they've cheated on their mate. You know, so we need to make sure we get this right. And what we do is we crucify our flesh. Now, some people misunderstand what that's really talking about. You know, crucifying your flesh so you beat up yourself and do things and, you know, crawl on rocks on your knees and just try to show your flesh what to do. But no, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about extinguishing those passions or desires. That's where fasting comes in. Fasting. You know, I know it's a subject that, you know, we don't like to hear about, and how long you fast is between you and the Lord, but fasting will give your spiritual side of you. Remember, you're a spirit person. You know, that's the part of us that needs to rule and reign. That's the part of us that connects with God. And if we feel that we have some things in our life that ain't going, then I encourage you to get into a system of fasting, something that'll help you. Now, maybe you can't for health reasons, so you can maybe, you know, fast some other things other than food or things like that. But really what it's talking about is practicing self-denial. Oh, isn't this fun? Glory to God. Your flesh is going, I hate you, Pastor Brad. I hate you. Self-denial. Telling yourself no. How often do we do that? We tell our kids no. That's good preaching, brother. Amen. But we don't want to tell ourselves no. And so we need to learn how to practice self-denial, and you can do that in whatever way you want, whatever you think. Now, I would just encourage you to start where you're at now. Don't overdo it. How many has decided to maybe start exercising, and you go out the first day and you run, you know, maybe an hour, maybe not all the hour, but anyway. And then the next day you're so sore you never do it again. We've all done that, ain't we? We've overdone it. So don't overdo it with this. Just incrementally Start to grow in Christ and get your prayer life better. You know, get your practicing self-denial. Maybe just practice giving up things. And maybe, like I said, maybe you can't give up food, maybe for some health reasons. Well, give up some other things in your life. Just to teach yourself that, hey, you know, just because I want it doesn't mean it's good for me. And I'm going to stay in control. I'm going to tell myself what to do. And that's how we're going to start to do it. So, you know, and I'll be honest, prayer is very hard to measure because it's an intangible thing. We can easily measure how much we weigh because we step on a scale, right? You can tell how you're doing when you step on the scale, unless somebody's adjusted it on you just to mess with you, you know, God bless them, you know. But, you know, so prayer is hard to measure. So how do you measure prayer? How I measure it is by the level of peace I'm walking in on my inside. The peace of God. And what that means is that the world can be falling down around you. I mean, things can be very chaotic. Maybe the worst day at work, everybody else is just yelling at each other, you know, just bickering all the time, and you're sitting there with a Jesus smile on your face. Glory to God. I'm glad I'm not part of this mess, you know, because you're just walking in peace. And you're making them mad. Why ain't you mad? Because I pray. I have peace in my heart. It doesn't matter what's going on around here. And that's worth something, people. It's worth a lot when we start to walk in that. Maybe you're in a bad marriage. Maybe you and your spouse aren't getting along. And they're doing everything they can just to bicker and bite at you to try to get you to enter into that argument and that flesh. And all that's fun to do sometimes, isn't it? You know, to speak your mind. You know, just to get it off your chest. You know, hey, there's something I got to tell you. And then you let them have it. No. But see, they're doing that. But yet, you've prayed up. And you've covered yourself with the peace of God. And then they're just getting madder because you're just smiling. And you're not taking the bait. See, that's what the devil does with strife. He wants you to take the bait. He wants you to get in there and get involved in that. But see, prayer keeps you away from that. And Jesus said that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And, you know, his disciples, they couldn't pray for 1 hour. And, you know, I'll be honest, it's hard to start at an hour. But yet, he wanted that. And what happened is that deep inside, I think you and I all want to pray more, but the flesh gets in the way. So how do we start to do it? Okay, the last point I want to look at is a little bit of mind control. And this is how we do this, learning how to control your mind. Because what happens, I believe, if you can control your mind, you can control your destiny. And I don't know what your destiny is, that's between you and God. But if you can control your mind, you can control your destiny. Where most people fall short of living up to the expectations they have upon themselves or the expectations that they feel that maybe God has set before them, is the fact that in their mind, they didn't learn to control it, and they started chasing after the flesh and all that soulish stuff, and it took them out of where they should be or where they could be. So the spirit man, like I mentioned, needs to be in charge. Now, prayer will bring spiritual strength and emotional healing, and that's what we mean. So that's what gets us in alignment. You know, just like using husbands and wives as an example. You know, if a husband and wife is in alignment, lined up, heading the same way, they're a powerful force. Okay, let's say you guys are renting right now and you want to buy a house, okay? And you feel that you and your husband or you and your wife are in alignment with this desire, okay? So you're saving money. You're putting money in the savings account, keeping it out of checking. Just putting in there what you need, and you're putting this money away. Just keep putting it away, because you need the down payment, right? You're aligned. Well, one of them decides they want a new shotgun or a new bow and arrow. You know, hunting's coming up right around the corner. So all of a sudden, the husband comes home with a new toy, $3,000 or $4,000 deal. The missus says, "Where'd you get that?" "I had to have it. Everybody else has it. All my friends have one. I want one. Well, where'd you get the money? Out of savings. I thought that was for the house. They're not in alignment anymore, are they? They're going a different direction. And see, that's why alignment is very important in our life when we're going after things. And that's why we need to be aligned with God, especially when it comes to the area of prayer. It'll bring us into place. You know, God, you know, without going into this too far, God says, my ways are not your ways. But they can be when we get aligned with God. Now, do you think God's going to change his plan and get aligned with us? No. God's not going to change his plan just for you or me. No, he wants us to get aligned with him. So through the word and through prayer, we come into alignment. And see, when we align, here's how this works. Remember, you're a spirit, soul, and body. Your soul is in the middle. That's the deciding vote. You know, there's three. Okay, your flesh wants to do carnal things. It doesn't want to do spiritual things. So it's fighting to try to get control of your soul, telling you why you should not pray, why you should not go to church, why you should not read your Bible, because all those things are going to make you spiritually stronger. And then the flesh is going to lose out. Well, on the other hand, you have the spirit. Your spirit is just hungering for God, just wanting more of God. So it's telling your soul, hey, we need to read the Bible. Hey, we need to pray. So the choice is, who do you want to align with? Are you going to align with your flesh and live it up and never get your desired goal? Or are you going to let your spirit man rule and reign, and then you start to walk in a different level of victory? And that's what's called the power of agreement. When you and I learn how to agree, and that's the power agreement between a husband and wife or between two Christians. It says if two or three agree on anything, it shall be done. And so that's why we need to get into agreement. And how we do that is to train our focus. So I want to challenge us this week to kind of think about some of these things. You know, how hungry are you for the things of God? Now, this is all just basic information, but I know in my life that, you know, I know there's more out there for me, for God, with God. I know there's more out there. Now, it's not works righteousness. I'm not beating myself up over it, thinking I'm a bad Christian because I'm not where I need to be, maybe. But let it be that, you know, you hunger for this and you thirst for this. And maybe he says, Pastor, I don't even want to pray. I don't even have the desire. Well, I'm glad you asked that. Just ask God to give you the desire. That's all you got to pray. God, give me the desire to want to pray more, to want to spend time with you, to want to grow in you. And as we do that, you know, then we're going to start talking with God and not talking to God. There's a difference. When you talk with somebody, it's a two-way conversation. But when you're talking to somebody, we're just doing all the talking, and we're not giving them a chance to say anything. And I think that if we can get to the place in our walk with God where we can learn how to talk, you know, talk with him, then we're going to start to grow as a believer. And I'll be honest, a lot of good things are going to start happening. Your confidence level is going to start getting bigger in the things of God, where you're going to start to trust, you know, in the gift that God's put inside of you, and you're going to start to step out and do some things for him instead of watching other people do it. And so all these things, just, I'll tell you, everything good just happens. Everything good just happens. There's no downside to getting a better prayer life. Amen? All right, let's pray.